Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Before I talk to you in a minute about what Jesse said, I just want to thank everybody who's a part of Victory that serves on our dream team, and particularly on days like today. How many of you are very grateful for the people that serve outside of this building to make this able to come into? Come on. Thank you. We're also celebrating today, this is the final day of 21 days of prayer and fasting. I believe this has been the best we've ever had it. The most, you could just sense people starting to step into this. It's part of their life, part of developing a true culture of prayer here at Victory. We'll do it again in August, and we'll talk more about that as we go. But I pray that it's been a really meaningful time for you, whether you were able to go through the whole time of it or maybe you just did a spot here or a spot there. But I hope you made some step toward that. And so, again, we're so thankful for that. And then lastly, I just want to mention about what Jesse shared this morning about the necessity of connecting and the necessity of getting into a small group. Now, Jesse got into what we call freedom groups, which are, we talk about getting past your past. It is specifically designed to help you get beyond your yesterdays. And you can do it with a group of people. It's an amazing opportunity. It actually culminates with a retreat here on a Friday night and a Saturday morning. I've gone through it 3 times myself, and it's absolutely remarkable. So I really hope every one of us take full advantage of that. And today's when we're launching the small groups. But I want to take you into Galatians chapter 5 today. And I want to talk to you about something today that the Holy Spirit so strongly brought into my heart as I was just reading the Bible for myself, where the intimacy that God desires to have a relationship with you. Now listen, this is really important. Not me wanting a relationship with God, but God desperately wanting a relationship with me. And so I want you to put that in context of everything we say today, because it's one thing to say we need one another. Can I tell you, it's almost unimaginable to me that the God of the universe literally says in Scripture to you, I need you. God has chosen to make you so intimately connected to him that he actually said, I need you. I'm going to talk to you about some of that today. And I'll tell you, it's absolutely life-changing if you'll let God deal with your heart in the context of the truth of who he really is. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Jesus said, for freedom he came. He came to make you free. He said, there's two options in life. There is not a third, by the way. There is living under the yoke of slavery or living in freedom. There are no options. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm not quite ready to go on with God for that freedom thing, but I also don't want that, you know, yoke of slavery thing. I'll just live in the middle. Can I tell you, there is no middle. You are always moving toward freedom or always moving toward slavery in your life in some area. And your relationship with God, spiritual growth, is simply about letting the freedom that Christ came to give you manifest in your everyday life so you can live in the freedom he died to provide. And here's the last thing I want you to think about when we talk about slavery and freedom. Whichever direction you're going, you are taking the people you love with you. If you're a parent, if there's somebody have an influence, a deep influence in someone's life, you move toward freedom, you move your whole family toward freedom. You move toward the absence of that, and you will take your family there. And I would suggest for most of us in this room, our family of origin has gifted us a few things that we would prefer not to have been given. And you have, listen, you get to be the one that can stop generations of absolute slavery in your family. Not you understand, I don't mean physical slavery. I'm talking about the things that bind us, that Jesus died to provide to set us free. But here's the absolute reality, that God loves us so much. He loves us so much. He loves you right where you are today. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter how dark it may be, his love is unimaginable. But he loved you way too much to just leave you there, because he cares about your everyday life. One of the things we're implementing and really getting stronger in is a culture of prayer here at Victory. And so I want every one of you to know from now on in the seat pocket in front of you, you're going to see this prayer request card. Now here's what I want you to do. If you ever have a prayer request that you want other people to be praying about, and I'll tell you how we're going to be doing that in a minute, all you have to do is fill it out. Place for your name, your phone number. You can leave that blank if you choose to. Place for the prayer request. You need more space, put it on the back. You could either drop it off in the offering when we receive the offering. Today it will be at the end of the service. You can bring it to guest services. You could drop it off to one of our prayer partners at the end of the service. Now here's what's going to happen every week starting this Saturday. After we just finished, today is 21 days of prayer we're finishing. Now from now on, every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we're going to be praying together, having a prayer meeting, a 1 hour prayer meeting. I'll be leading it personally, and it's going to be over in the auditorium for now. And when we come together, we're going to take all of the prayer cards, we're going to put them out, we're going to ask everybody who's come to pray to take prayer cards and actually pray specifically over your need before God. And so we want you to know that we want to fight through life together. We really do. And so we want to make that available to you. So please take advantage of that. It's just so important. And as we do enter this weekend of encouraging you to step into small groups, it's so important to understand that you have to take off your mask. You cannot, this doesn't work if it's a show or a game. Church should not be a place of facade. It should be a place of real life where we get the people see us as we are, love us as we are, and walk with us toward freedom as we are right now. One of the small groups I want to just show you, just, and this is not promoting this one specifically, although it's a great one to promote. I want you to see how intentional these small groups are to go into the areas of life where people live in shame. You should not have to hide what you're dealing with in church. It shouldn't be something you have to pretend. That's so wrong. And it's the exact opposite of who God is and who he's called us to be with one another. And I want you to just take a look. This is a small group that's offered right now for men in an area of their lives that, and not just men, this is happening across the board. Take a look at this. I want you to see how real we're talking about helping one another. Take a look. You know, we're talking about real life stuff. Small groups, not all of them are that intense. But, you know, can we not pretend that pornography is absolutely destroying the lives of families and people? The average person is now 8 years old when they get their first exposure to pornography. It changes brain chemistry. And I'm telling you, this is one of the main issues of our day. And we're not going to pretend. Oh, God, just shut up, move on. I feel guilty. Feeling guilty is one thing. Getting help and getting freedom is another. And you aren't going to break burdens like this on your own. I don't care if it's pornography. I don't care what it is. That's what you've got to remove shame from the equation. If you don't, people will stay in their prison. You know, relationships create emotion. How many of you are married? Okay, I can tell you, no one on the planet can create in me the kind of positive emotion that my wife can. But you want to know what else? And nobody else can make me as miserable as her either. That's the truth. Same, I mean, we're so close. She could turn my day either way. She could pick. I can do the same for her. Relationships are dangerous. But can I help you understand something today? Do you realize that God has put himself in that position with you? Do you understand? Now, this is very important. Don't think of humanity as a whole. Think of you as an individual when I say this. That you yourself emotionally, listen to me, emotionally impact God. You do know God has emotion. That's where we got ours. But here's the deal. Once you know how much God loves you, you will immediately understand how you can intimately impact his emotion. Say it out loud. He loves me. When you know that he loves you, not some biblical theory, not some discussion. I'm talking about knowing the Father's love. That's why you'll hear us say, to where you'll say, please stop saying it, that we exist to help all people realize God loves them unconditionally. Because when you know he loves you, you understand the impact that you have on him, not just that he has on you. I want to talk to you today just quickly about three ways we emotionally impact God. The first one's this. Did you know that God is seeking for you? And I want to talk to you about what that feels like when you seek. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 23. He said, the hour is coming, and it now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. The Father is seeking for you today. In fact, for the world without Christ, he's seeking for them. It so desperately drives him in the seeking that he literally sent his son. He came and he bore the debt, he bore the punishment, he bore the judgment that a righteous God placed on man. God came himself to bear the judgment that we had to bear. He's seeking for you. For every person that doesn't know Christ today, the Father's seeking for them. He's seeking for them. But do you know that once you're found, he's still seeking for you? It's not, well, now I'm found and now I'm just, you know, off to the side. No, no, no. Once you come to Christ, he's still seeking for you. Next Monday, Pastor Steve and I are flying down to Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to be in what I believe to be one of the most pivotal meetings in our 25-year history. I won't go into it today, but next weekend, I'm going to be starting a four-week series called Kingdom Builders. And it's not just a teaching series. Listen to me, please. This is a game changer, not just for you, for this church, but the entirety of our region. And if you're ever going to choose four services to miss, don't pick any of these. Come to church the next 4 weeks. I'll be sharing with you the impact of where we're going, the doors that God has begun to open once we begin to pronounce the things that were in our heart have been absolutely supernatural. And I'll share some of those things with you, and we'll start with it next week when we start the series, Kingdom Builders. But he and I are going to be in Birmingham, Alabama, next Monday. Now, in Birmingham, Alabama is Steve and Dana's daughter, Rachel, and our girls, Sienna and Alexa. Now, you have to understand, we were supposed to be at Seacoast Church doing this meeting, this two-day thing, in Charleston, South Carolina. Everybody say Seacoast. Say Birmingham. If you have to pick Seacoast or Birmingham, how many of you are going to? I'm going to the Seacoast. Especially when you live, you know, we got to go to the Ohio River to find our water, right? But can I tell you the greatest city on the planet to me today to go visit is Birmingham, Alabama, because my two girls are there. And let me tell you, when I found out I was coming there, I called them. And I said, honey, this is when I'm flying in. When can you come? When can we see you? Will you guys come see me? You know what they told me? Well, Dad, we have a class. I said, blow it off. Come on, man. I said, blow off that class. Yeah, but we have to go. I said, blow it off. I'm your dad. And they said, Dad, we can't do that. And so I said, let me call your pastor at the church there. And I said, Dad, you can't do that. I said, yeah, I can. But I didn't. That, you know, But can I tell you, when I think of going there, I'm so desperately excited to see my girls. I get butterflies when I think about it. I can't wait to see them. I'm seeking them because I love them. Do you know the Father himself loves you that way? Do you know he's seeking you? Do you know that God himself has an emotion driven toward you that he's seeking for you? See, if all you ever think is I have to seek God, you can't seek God until you know that he sought you first. You can't love God until you know that he loved you first. This is a revelation, listen to me, that will change everything you do and everything you process in your life. You are intimately impacting the emotion of God. Secondly, I want you to know that you can actually grieve God. You have the power to grieve God himself. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says this. He said, and don't grieve, don't bring sorrow, or don't break the heart of God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own. Say it out loud. I'm his own. And he's guaranteeing you that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Now, when I think of grieving the Holy Spirit or bringing sorrow to God, my religious mind says, I grieve God, and he says, get away from me, you make me sick. Until you make some changes, just get out. You grieve me like this kind of monster God. But it's just the opposite. He said, you grieve me. You bring me sorrow. When you move away from freedom that I died for, this desperate love I have for you, and you move toward the one who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy you, and you choose that path, you grieve me. It breaks my heart. What kind of love can have 6 billion people that each can intimately impact him? What kind of heart can endure that kind of pain even? So much so it drove him to die in my place. It's an incredible thing when you think about it. You see, when you only grieve in proportion to how much you love a person. I was going to read an obituary from a paper out of Chicago, but I didn't have the time to really do it. And basically, it was a big, long obituary. Horrible thing. It was terrible. And all of us could have listened to it and read it and go, that's just so sad. None of us would have grieved because we didn't know and love that person. But when you lose someone you love, grief can stop you in your tracks. Grief can make it where you can't breathe, where you don't know if you can live the next day. And when I was in prayer, that's what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, John, that's how you impact me when you go in a direction apart from my love for you. Do you understand that God wanting us to live a certain way is not so that he can stomach us? It's because he loves us. The scripture said everything he commands us is for our good only, only, only. How can it be that my actions can cause grief and sorrow and heartbreak to an eternal God? That kind of love your mind will never comprehend. Only can your heart grasp it. I don't know if you've ever watched the television show Intervention. It's one of the most difficult shows you'll ever watch if you do. And basically they take someone who's struggling with addiction in a very, very serious way, and they do a documentary on that person's life. It culminates in an intervention where a professional brings the family members and the addict into a room, and there's an intervention trying to get them to go to rehab. If you've ever watched it, I'm telling you, it's one of the hardest things you'll ever watch. And if you'll watch it, and you'll see sometimes when a father will read, they write it down because their emotion won't let them talk. And you'll watch a father look at his son or his daughter or a mom, and they try to read the letter as they beg them not to die. And you'll watch men that you know are not very comfortable with emotion, who maybe this child has never even seen their father even weep. And you'll watch a father try to read that letter and sob so deeply that his body convulses, that you could see there's more pain in the father than in the son, because he's grieving over the choices of his child. That's what the father feels when I go in a direction away from the path he told me to walk. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, that's what happens. Doesn't it make all the difference in the world to think, I grieve God, and he's like, get away from me, or I grieve God, and he's like, that father in the intervention, no, please don't go there. Please don't go there. And sometimes the child or whomever will go to rehab, and sometimes they won't. And addiction is it's the blight of our age. So many precious families in this church, many of you sitting right here, have been so devastated through addictions in your family. You know exactly what that kind of grief is. Now, I didn't want to trigger any heartache in you today, but I also want you to understand that's how the Father thinks of you when you're failing, when you're broken, when you're going in a direction, even somewhere that you think is horrible, that how could God even want to look at me? It's because he's desperately in love with you. Imagine, he's seeking me. I can grieve him. The third one's this. He delights in me. He rejoices over me. You create delight in the heart of God. You create God rejoices over you. That's an emotion. I want to read you out of the book of Zephaniah. If you have your Bibles, that's the part of your Bible that's still stuck together. Okay, so let me read to you Zephaniah 3. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all of your fears. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he'll calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with singing. Imagine the God of the universe, not over humanity. That's how we think. No, over you. He wants to calm your fears with his love. He wants you to hear him rejoicing over you with singing. Now, I'm honored to have three kids, and it's the most amazing thing you can ever experience, I think, in life is to be a parent. It's the most joyful and yet the most painful thing you'll ever do on planet Earth. And it really is. But, oh, man, I love my kids. I'm obsessed. I understand the love of God because I'm totally obsessed. And I don't have grandkids yet, but I'm going to get obsessive. I promise you. They're going to have to just shoot me because I'm going nuts when I get some grandbabies. But here's the thing. My kids, every morning, almost through their whole school experience when they were little, all the way to when they left for college, almost every morning, I would get up with them, and I like to actually be that first one to go get. I would get up, and I'd wake them up every morning, often with singing. most times, and I would make up the weirdest songs, and I would sing, and they were like, "Oh, you, how many of you know your kids are like, are you out of your mind?" And I would sing, and then when Elf came out, y'all know Elf, remember when he came in and he sang to his dad? My kids, they did not like that song after I heard that. I was like, "I love you, I love you, I love you!" at 6 a.m. And I would make up crazy, I would rejoice over them with singing to where that it's like, "Dad, what's wrong with you? How does anybody, are you a morning person?" "No, I'm a dad though. And I'm a nut job. I understand God's not crazy like I am, but I know what it means to rejoice over my kids with singing." And what they never had to wonder ever in their whole life was, "That guy, I think he's crazy about me." No matter what happens, they know, all three know that we said to them again and again, more than that, they can never remember that we said it. We never go away. The whole world can run away from you. We go nowhere. We may have to have some boundaries based on what you choose in life, but let me tell you something. We never go away. We never stop until I'm in a grave. That's the love of God for people. But let me close with this, and we're going to pray in his presence. Michelle does something so precious with our youngest daughter, Alexa. When Alexa was little, and she actually broke all four of her baby teeth in diving into the couch. It was a pleasant day. And Michelle began to sing over Alexa the old song, the chorus, "Jesus, Jesus." There's just something about that name. And so every time that Alexa would be sick or afraid or anything going on in her life, and this is what went from she was a little girl, Michelle would take her in her arms and she would sing over her and love her and calm her fear by singing Jesus over her. And what I think is so cool is that Alexa's 21, and to this day, if there's something really difficult in her life, she'll come to her mom, she'll say, "Mom, sing over me." And it's the most precious thing in the world to watch her sit by her mom and her mom pull her in her arms and just sing that over her. That's what the Father does over you. Now, you know God has the most amazing singing voice. Do you realize every great singer just got a piece of the voice of God? Can you imagine what his singing voice must be like? He'd win The Voice. And he chose to give certain people pieces of that. He chose to give me not much of a piece. But today I want to sing that for you, not because I can sing, because I want, and I knew it in my heart, and it happened last night, just as God spoke to my heart about, I want you to experience this and let the presence of God sing over you today, no matter where you are. If you just close your eyes and bow your head, I want to sing this song over you like Michelle did and does over Alexa. And then when I'm finished, I'm just simply going to pray. And I know that God, by his Spirit, is going to calm some things in people that sometimes have been generations. He's the God of the universe, and he intimately loves you. And so she would sing, and I want to sing over you that same song. She would sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name." Father, I pray your presence in this room, that you would surround every person with your incredible presence, your glory to fill this room, your glory to fill this room. I worship you. 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 Father, I thank you that now by the power of your Spirit, there are people in this room who have been trained in generations of beliefs that have kept them out of trusting you. Lord, that your love would so be made manifest in this room. I thank you for setting people free in every area of their life right now. Your love is like water. It goes everywhere. It doesn't just go to one spot in our life. It fills every nook and every cranny. Father, I pray that over people now. Vicki, if you would just sing that song, just sing it one more time. Just sing Jesus and let his presence fill you. We worship you. Father, let's just stand together. And would you just surrender your heart to him this morning? Forget about everybody around you. Would you surrender to his love, not to what you're going to do for God today? But would you surrender today to the love that he is toward you? Would you surrender to the truth that he's seeking you? To the truth that he's so desperately in love with you that when you hurt, he grieves. When you go apart from him, he sorrows. When your heart breaks, his heart breaks even more. That his longing for you to walk in righteousness and truth is not so he could stomach you. It's because he desperately loves you and he wants you to live the best life you can live. Can you trust him today that he delights over you, that he rejoices over you with singing, that there's nothing in your life that causes him to run from you, that you can just turn to him no matter what you've done, no matter how often you've done it, no matter with whom you've done it, no matter what's been done to you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father God. Father, fill this place with your holy presence. I thank you for the gifts and the operation and manifestations of the Holy Spirit to flow freely in this room, that people would receive love gifts from heaven today. I thank you for healing power in every realm of our makeup, emotionally and even physically in this room. I thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. So we are worshiping God. The Bible talks about something called a word of knowledge. It's just a fragment of the knowledge of God he drops in your heart. And he wants to manifest the gifts of healings here right now. If you're here right now in this room, or maybe you're watching online, I don't know how to explain that. I'm not a doctor, but I would tell you it would be something similar to a hiatal hernia and something in your esophageal area. Whether it's just constant, I don't know, whether it's a constant burning, whether it's due to anxiety, I have no idea. But he wants to manifest his healing power for you right now. This is very important. Don't say in your head and your heart, well, that can't be for me because, stop that. That's the lie you have to, if you'll walk away from that lie right now, he wants you to experience his presence and his love right now. Don't talk yourself out of it and don't start making promises to God right now. This isn't about your love for him. It's about you experiencing his love for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're that person, you have that whatever, you call, I don't know the condition. If you'll just simply, right where you're at, acknowledge, I want to receive his healing power. Just lift your hand right where you're at and I'm going to pray for you. Now you receive right now what he has for you by his presence. Father, I thank you now for the healing power of our God. I thank you for now the gifts of healings that flow freely in this room. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, we don't have to get loud. We don't have to shout. There's nothing we're going to do to make you do something wonderful other than trust you. And I thank you right now for your healing power to sweep this room, for every symptom in their body to stop because of healing power that makes them whole. Whether it's a curable or an incurable situation, it matters nothing to you. And I thank you now for the healing power of God that flows in their body. Regardless of source. And I thank you for that. Father, let's just right now lift our hands and thank him for healing power that flows in this room. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I worship you. I worship you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Again, this came up in my heart, a fear that nagged you because of generational health conditions You have no symptoms of it. You take care of yourself in the sense where you get looked after. Your tests don't say anything about it. But you, there's a nagging fear in you. It's almost pervasive to where it seems like it just always nags you. Oh, that's going to happen to me. And you're doing a countdown based on when someone you love in your family had some event or even maybe even passed away. You might have even said out loud of your mouth, well, you know, that happened to them at that age. And I guess it probably might happen to me. Don't agree with those words. Repent of those words and look to the faithfulness of your God. If that's you here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray for you as well, right where you're standing. Just simply raise your hand as well, right where you're at, and I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. I would have thought that was just one person, not 30 or 40. This is what church is, where God moves, where God moves. Father, I thank you that fear is when we project your absence in our future. Faithfulness and faith in you is when we project your presence into our future. Father, none of us hold tomorrow. But we will not ruin our todays by projecting the absence of your presence in our tomorrow. And Father, I thank you for those issues in people's bodies that may even be hereditary. Our bodies are connected to this earth through our family of origin, but not our spirits. We came from you. And I thank you that you are our Father. You will be our Father forever. And your word declares that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us because we are your children. And that same spirit that dwells in us will quicken, animate, or give life to our death-doomed bodies by that spirit that lives in us. And so, Father, I thank you now for the power of the Holy Spirit moving in their bodies, doing whatever needs to be done in their bodies to eradicate whatever needs to be eradicated, or even just the fear and the lie and the constant torment. We trust you. We trust you. Thank you for your manifest presence. Thank you for your manifest presence. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, I'm not asking you if you're a good person or if you've been to church. That's a great thing, but none of that makes you right with God. If you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? Jesus said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Jesus died because of that reality. And there is no way. See, please understand, your sin will receive payment. It must have payment. You will pay for it yourself eternally, or you will receive the free gift of eternal life because Christ came and paid the debt we couldn't pay. So if you're here today and you would say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I believe he was buried and rose from the dead and brings to me eternal life. If you believe that and you desire to receive Christ today, including those of you that are watching online, I will pray for you right where you're standing. In a moment, I'll ask you to acknowledge you desire to receive Christ, and the whole congregation will pray a prayer out loud and together with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to receive Christ into my life to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. I want to receive him now. I want to know that I have eternal life. I want to receive his payment for my sin. I don't want to pay for it myself. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, would you just simply raise your hand right where I can see it? Do it high where I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you've not yet raised your hand, thank you. And you want to be included with those that have, just simply do it right now. You can see I'm not embarrassing anybody. Just saying, please include me as well in that prayer. Praise God. Thank you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away, and Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a big hand, would you? Best decision of your life. Praise God. You can be seated.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.